before we get to the deacon ordination and installation, we're going to look at God's Word together. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew tonight, Matthew chapter 14. I will say that you will notice some parallels between what we look at tonight and what we already looked at this morning. And I love when this happens. It's all praise to God. It's how He has worked it out in His providence. As I was planning things, this was not done intentionally. So it's always an encouragement to see the Lord work in that way. We're going to be looking at the feeding of the 5,000. I trust a passage that's no stranger to you, a passage you've probably read and that you're familiar with to one degree or another. It's a passage that certainly applies to all of us. And as we go through it this evening, I'm going to be applying it to all of us. But also want to focus specifically on how it applies to Benny and to Nathan and to Michael as they take up the calling of deacon. There is an outline in the bulletin. Of course, it's also been emailed and online, and you can feel free to follow along. I'm going to read the passage. It's Matthew 14, 13 to 21. Typically, I don't pray right after I read the passage, but I am going to pray after I read the passage tonight, and we'll ask for God's blessing again, and I will constitute the court in prayer. So let's give our attention to God's Word, Matthew 14, starting here at verse 13. When Jesus heard it, He departed from there by boat to a deserted place by Himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed Him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude, and He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to Him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then He commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Let's pray. Lord, this is Your Word. It is true, it is holy, it is perfect, it is profitable for us as the people of God. And so we pray that as we would consider it together tonight, You would be gracious to bless us and to write it upon our hearts. And Lord, again, we do ask for Your blessing on this entire service as we as a session constitute ourselves as a court of Your house in the name and by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King and Head of the Church. Amen. As Benjamin Franklin once famously wrote, "You can do anything you set your mind to." I'm sure you've heard those words before, and you've heard some kind of variation of those words before. You can do anything you set your mind to. He said those words over 200 years ago. They're old words, and yet I trust you know that they are still very much alive and well today. Whether it's on commercials, in commercials on TV, whether it's in the classrooms at school, in many places, all of these years later, we still hear these same words being said. But we all know they're true, don't we? We all know they're not true, don't we? Right? People say these words all the time, but deep down, we all know that these actually are inaccurate words. They sound good. Okay, you can do whatever you set your mind. That sounds good. Sounds motivational. All right, this is why, after all, they're still being used many years later. But if you just stop for a minute to think about it, we really can't do anything we set our mind to. Right, I could set my mind all day long to be a champion weightlifter, yet all it takes you is 1 second to look at this body and realize that is never going to happen. It doesn't matter how much I set my mind towards that. It doesn't matter how much I try to accomplish that. That is just never going to happen. Right, so that's just a silly example, but that's a true example of how this is not really a true statement. Well, as we see in our text tonight, when it comes to serving the Lord, that is, when it comes to doing what God commands us to do, the same is true. We can try all we want, but we're never going to be able to do it in our own strength. And that's because, as Jesus shows us here in this passage in Matthew 14, our ability to serve God and all that that means, and especially tonight for you men as new deacons, our ability to serve God is not found in ourselves and is never found in ourselves. But our ability is Jesus Christ. He is our ability. And so as we seek to serve the Lord, and as you men seek to serve the Lord as deacons coming up in the future, we need to do so then with our eyes fixed on Christ. Right? He is the one who will enable us to serve Him day by day. He is, as I put it in the sermon title, our ability. So our main point tonight, this is what I want us to see for the main point. It is your ability to serve the Lord is found in Jesus Christ. And therefore, we must always look to Him for the enablement that we need. Right? Christ is your ability. If you have the outline, I want us to see firstly this evening that you and I, we are unable to serve the Lord on our own. Let's go back and look at verse 13 at the beginning of the passage. Matthew tells us when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the city. So here our passage begins. Jesus has departed one place. He's crossed by boat over the Sea of Galilee to another place. We're told they want to get a little bit of rest and relaxation after a long day of ministry. And yet when they get to the other side, who is there waiting for Jesus? The multitudes are already there waiting for Jesus. So there goes the day of rest for the Lord and the disciples. Now there is ministry in front of them. And what we're told here is that as he met these disciples, as he met the multitudes on the other side of the sea, verse 14, he was moved with compassion for them. Right? He could have said, look, folks, I've done enough. Let me have a breather with the disciples. Come back tomorrow, 8 a.m. We'll help you. No, Jesus set aside all of his plans for rest, all of his plans for relaxation, and spent time with these people. And if you look again at verse 14, he not only had compassion on these people, he then started healing their sick. And in fact, in Mark's gospel, we're told that he taught the people many things, and he did so all day long. He did so until it was late in the evening. And so then, having fed the people spiritually, we're told in the text that the disciples then approached Jesus about their need to be fed physically. Verse 15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour's already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. In other words, Jesus, you've done enough, right? It's late into the day. People need to eat. Let's let them move on with their evening. Go get the food that they need before it's too late. And yet, what did Jesus say to them in response? Verse 16. They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Not the answer the disciples were expecting, is it? Right? Put yourself in their shoes for a second. But it was the call of God on their lives. They were to feed the crowds. That was Jesus' command to them. Now, if you look at the end of the passage in verse 21, Matthew tells us that 5,000 men, besides women and children, were in attendance that day. Right? This is why we often refer to the story as the feeding of the 5,000. But if you actually take Jesus or Matthew seriously at what he says, we're talking 15,000. We're talking 20,000. We're talking a lot more than just 5,000 people. This is all the people who are there. And so again, put yourself in the disciples' shoes. What would you be thinking if Jesus just said to you around all of these thousands and thousands of people, you give them something to eat? You'd probably be thinking, Lord, I love you, but are you kidding me? Right? Is this a joke? You know there is absolutely no way we can feed this many people. Where are they at the time? They're in the wilderness. They're away from home. As we're told in verse 17, they had very little food with them for themselves, let alone to share with other people. In fact, they had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And to be more specific, as John tells us in his account, it's 5 small barley cakes. We're not talking like big baguettes or something. 5 small barley cakes and 2 small fish. Right? This was their situation. So again, when you put all of that together and you put yourself in the disciples' shoes, what are you thinking when Jesus says, "You give them something to eat"? Right? You're clearly understanding, Lord, that's impossible. There's no way we can do that. Some of you may know that Mackey Arena holds about 14,000 people. Okay, so think of Mackey Arena. You've been in Mackey Arena, have every seat full. It's pretty close to the number of people who were here with Jesus and the disciples that day. Now imagine being in Mackey Arena and you're told you now have to feed all 14,000 of those people with a few hot dogs, a couple bags of chips, and a Coke. How's it going to go? You can get a knife out, you can cut those chips and hot dogs all day long. You're not going to be able to feed all of those people. And yet that's exactly what Jesus told the disciples to do. They did not have enough food to feed 15 people, let alone 15,000. But that was the point, wasn't it? That was the point. Right? Serving God on your own is an impossible task. And that's what Jesus wanted them to realize. And that's what he wants us to realize as well. Because like the disciples, we too are incapable of doing what the Lord calls us to do on our own. It's like we're when you think of what God tells us to do, it's like being told to feed tens of thousands of people with just a few pieces of bread and some small fish. And Jesus says in John 15:5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing," he says, nothing. So that is always the case, to trust God in your times of trouble. That is something you're incapable of doing on your own. To kill sin, especially your besetting sins, that's something you are incapable of doing on your own. To sacrificially love your wife, to respect to your husband, to remain pure and chaste in your relationships, to raise your kids in the Lord, to be a witness at work, to love your neighbor on down the line, all the things that the Lord calls us to do, we are utterly incapable of doing those things on our own. As Jesus demonstrates for us here, it's like being told to feed 15,000 people with one kid's lunchbox. Right? It can't be done, no matter how hard you try. And Michael, Nathan, and Benny, that needs to be keenly in your mind as you think of the diaconate. Right? You cannot do it on your own. You can't do any of it on your own. Jesus wants you to think about this, whether it's doing menial work without pay and recognition, whether it's sacrificing time with your family to care for the needy, whatever it is, you cannot do it on your own. We are all unable to serve God in our own strength. And that's because, as we see secondly here on the outline, our ability to serve the Lord is found in Jesus and it is not found in ourselves. Again, Christ is our ability. So up to this point, we've seen how the disciples are incapable of feeding the multitudes with what they have. Now I want us to see, as we progress through the passage, that their incapability actually did not hinder them from fulfilling the Lord's command. They did fulfill the Lord's command. Look with me at verses 17 to 20. "And they said to him, 'We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained." Right, so what are we told in these verses? We're told that though it was an impossible task, the disciples actually completed it in the end. They fed the people. And they didn't just feed 50 or 150 of the people. They fed every single person in attendance, all 15 or 20,000 of them. What's more, we're told, it was not a meager snack. Right? It was an absolute feast, we're told. Matthew says they all, every single one of them, was filled. Right? They all were filled, so much so that at the end of the feast, there are now 12 baskets of leftovers when it was all said and done. And so the question, of course, that is to be in our minds that we're to be wrestling with is, how did this happen? If the disciples are incapable of feeding the people from their meager loaves and small fish, how then were the crowds able to eat and be satisfied by such a bountiful meal? Well, I trust it's clear to see it was not because somehow the disciples found a way to go buy enough food and feed the people with what they purchased. Now, that was suggested by one of the disciples. And we learn that in another gospel. But that's not why the crowds were able to be fed. In fact, it had absolutely nothing to do with the disciples. But rather, we see here there was a banquet for the thousands to eat because Jesus miraculously multiplied what the disciples had. He took the food and made it feed all of the people. Or to put it differently, the disciples were able to serve the Lord as he wanted them to do because he supernaturally worked on their behalf. Right? He provided manna for the thousands in the wilderness. He did what only he can do. And that, if you think about it, that was exactly the point Jesus wanted the disciples to get. Despite their inability, he is the Almighty. Right? He is the powerful Son of God. And as such, he is not limited by our inability. But rather, he can and does give us the ability. In fact, in John's account, John 6, verse 6, we're told that Jesus was testing the disciples when he commanded them to feed the multitudes, knowing what he was going to do. In other words, the whole purpose here was for them to realize how desperately they needed him to act. How desperately they needed him to do what they were called to do. Some of you may have heard the famous quote from Augustine of Hippo long, long ago, who said, "O Lord, command what you will and give what you command." O Lord, command what you will and give what you command. Meaning, Lord, you can command me to do whatever you want. Command what you will. But please, whatever you command me to do, give me the ability to do. Give me what you command. Because Augustine, he fully understood. God, without God's enabling grace, we can't do anything that the Lord has commanded. But with God's enabling grace, we certainly can do what the Lord has commanded. And as we look at this account in Matthew's gospel, is this not what Jesus did for the disciples? He gave them what God had commanded them. Jesus did the multiplying. But again, who did the feeding? Jesus did the multiplying, but who did the feeding? Well, look again at verse 19. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. It's a small point, but it's a significant point. So Jesus does the multiplying, but Jesus does not feed the crowds. The disciples feed the crowds because they were the ones called to feed the crowds. So they did exactly what Jesus commanded them to do, even though they were incapable of doing it. How? Because the Son of God acted on their behalf. The Son of God gave them the ability. And brothers and sisters, the same thing is true for you and for me in all the ways that God calls us to serve him. We are called to do things that we are unable to do, but thankfully Jesus never leaves us there. But he always gives us the ability because he is our ability. Again, John 15, 5, what does he say? "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Think of that image here for just a minute. How do the branches on the vine produce all of the grapes? Boys and girls, you can think about this. Maybe you've seen a picture of a grapevine before. It's not because the branches have the ability to produce fruit. The branches have none of the ability to produce fruit. But what? Because we understand that. Because if you break a branch off, boys and girls, from a vine, what's going to happen? Is it going to still grow grapes when it's not connected to the vine? No, not at all. Not at all, right? So the branch only produces the grapes because it's connected to the vine. And the vine is its source of life. And Jesus is saying here, so it is for us and our Christian service to him. Our ability to bear fruit, to serve the Lord, comes only from our living union with him. From being connected to him, that union through which he fills us with his enabling grace. Paul says in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, "Work out your own salvation." Or we could say, serve the Lord in all the ways he calls you. with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So we still have to strive to serve the Lord as he wants us to kill sin, to be a faithful deacon, to whatever it is the Lord has called us to do. We can't be lazy, but it's his power that enables us to serve him. He is our ability, and that is something we always have to remember. And so as we come to our third and final point here on the outline, I want us to see that we then always must look to Jesus for the enablement we need to serve the Lord. You know, when the disciples realized what Jesus had commanded them to do, right? That is, when it finally sunk in, he was telling them to feed all of these people with the little bit of food that they had. What was their response? Looking at the text if you need to. What was their response? Did they immediately ask him to help them? Did they start distributing the bread, knowing that he would make it multiply as they did so? Well, if you look again at verse 17, they didn't do either of those things. Instead, they protested, "Lord, it can't be done. Lord, it can't be done. We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Whereas Philip said to Jesus in John 6, verse 7, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Right? In other words, even if they had over half a year's worth of wages with them, Philip is saying, we couldn't buy enough food for all of the people here with us tonight. You see, when Jesus commanded them to feed the multitudes, the disciples could not get their eyes off the circumstances. And they could not get beyond the impossibility of what he had just told them to do. But if their eyes had been on Jesus and on what they knew he could do for them, my guess is their response would have been a little bit different. Because had they remembered that Jesus is the one who had just spent the entire day miraculously healing all of the sick, they would have known he certainly is the one who can take 5 small barley cakes, 2 small fish, and make them feed thousands of people. But again, their eyes weren't on Christ. Their eyes were on the impossibility of what Christ told them to do, and that's what hindered them, at least initially. And likewise, as we experience the impossibility of doing all that God calls us to do, we need to make sure our eyes are not on the circumstances, but on the Savior. Because like the disciples, if our eyes are on the impossibility of the situation, that is what's going to hold us back. That's what's going to trip us up. That's what's going to keep us from serving the Lord as we should. And we have to understand that can't happen. That can't happen. As God's people, we were made and we were redeemed to serve the Lord. What's more, Michael, Nathan, and Benny, right, you're going to be ordained in just a few minutes to serve the Lord as a deacon. And so as we all undertake what God calls us to do, we need to make sure we're looking to him who gives us the ability and not to anything else, because we must serve the Lord. This is what our life is all about. But notice also what Jesus said for them to do in verse 18. They're focused on their inability. They're protesting, "Lord, we can't do it." And what does Jesus say in his grace? "Bring them here to me. Bring them here to me." And that's when they were able to feed the multitude. And so too, if we're ever going to serve the Lord as we should, that's how we have to respond. We take the little bit we have, that's certainly not enough. We say, "Lord, take it from us. Cause it to multiply. Give us the ability to do what you want us to do." You know, as a father of young kids, something similar to this happens every single day of my life. Whether it's to find, you know, the missing Lego piece, or the one Lego piece in the box of 1,000 that we need in that moment. Whether it's to reach a toy in the back of a shelf. Whatever it is, there's always a child saying, "Dad, can you help me? Dad, can you help me?" Because he can't do it on his own. And so he comes to the one who can. And Jesus is saying, that is what we have to do. We can't do it on our own. We can't serve him on our own. So what are we to do? We go to the one who can. We go to the one who can give us the ability. And the beautiful truth about this passage is that he will always do so. Right? Jesus will always give us the ability to do what he's called us to do when we bring our 5 loaves and 2 fish to him. Why? Because when Jesus was on earth, he didn't just break the five loaves of fish for the crowd, or the five loaves of bread for the crowds in the wilderness. But as you know, he also broke his body. And because he broke his body on the cross for you and for me, we are now able to serve the Lord in all the ways he calls us to. We read in Hebrews 9, 13 and 14, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Right? That is why Christ gave his life. It was so that you would serve him in every way that he calls you. And so as you seek to do that, keep your eyes on the Savior. And Benny, and Nathan, and Michael, as you think of the call of God upon you tonight, keep your eyes on the Savior. He is your ability. Let's pray. Lord, tonight we know this is a familiar passage. We pray that you would help us to understand it afresh tonight, and to appreciate it in a new way. Lord, we so often try to go about serving you in our own strength. If we just try hard enough, if we wake up early enough, if we have enough accountability, then we'll be able to do those things. And discipline is needed. Accountability is needed. Maybe waking up early is needed. But Lord, just as we saw in Psalm 127 this morning, "Lest the Lord builds the house, they who labor build it in vain." Unless we try to serve the Lord in our own strength, we do so in vain, because we cannot do it in our own strength. And so we pray, make us a dependent people. Help us always to get beyond our circumstances. Help us to get beyond the impossibility of serving you. Lord, that's always right front and center in front of our eyes. Lord, help us to look to the one who can take five small barley cakes and two small fish and feed 15 or 20,000 people. Lord, you are our ability, and we thank you for that. Help us to believe it. Help us to depend upon you for all that we need. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's sing in praise to God now. Psalm 18, selection E. So turn with me to Psalm 18E, where we find words expressing a similar theme of how the Lord is our ability. So stand with me now as we sing. 18, selection E.